Morena te whanau, te boi Simprovise. Welcome to the Provise Project. Today on the potty, I've got Nixon Clark. If you do not know Nixon Clark, where have you been, man? Nixon Clark is a legend of the radio scene, the industry. He has been at MyFM for 15 years, bought some of the most funniest and amazingly creative radio breaks ever. But also just a good dude, and we chopped it up around radio and the industry and everything going along. If you're keen on supporting the podcast, go to patreon.com/theproviseproject and help a brother out for $2.50 a month. Anyway, whanau, hope you enjoy this as much as I enjoyed doing it. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace! Today on the podcast, oh man, this has been one of those episodes I've been just waiting and savoring this moment for. I've got my good bro, Stephen Anthony Nixon Clark.
Oh no, not the full name.
Oh, not the government.
not the government.
We could go, the full one, but you know, I got to keep something. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, man. Hey, thank you for having me, bro. Really appreciate it.
Bro,
it's good fun.
After I interviewed Nate, and then I was like, oh man, like it would be really cool to get Nixon, but I was like, I'm just waiting. And then I met you for the first time, and bro, like all my expectations of what you are were 100% correct, bro. You're the man, bro.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to go a completely different way, man. Yeah.
But also, you're a bit of an asshole, bro. Let's be nah.
No, but self-proclaimed, man. Self-proclaimed. But what you see is what you get. I think I get that a lot, man. A lot of people think that I'm going to be like a certain kind of guy when really what you hear on the radio is exactly what I'm like in real life.
First time I met you was when I came into mine. I was shitting myself, eh? Like, because I've listened to mine my whole life. Like, when V Shane and Robert Rakti were on, I was that guy. I was like every day recording like stuff on my tape player. So to come into mine was a huge thing for me as a little, my inner 19-year-old was like, oh my gosh, you're actually here. Do you get a lot of people that kind of say, man, this is like a nostalgic thing coming into mine?
Bro, it's nostalgic for me, man. I'm just like you, man. Since 92, you know, mum and dad had a car that could only get 88.6. And I think like all my favorite memories of music come back to my FM. So even I get that feeling still. You know, I still get to bump into Robbie because he works like just down the hallway from us. So, you know, just to bump into him going, man, you know, like I get to sit in the seat that you sat in that when I fell in love with radio. So, yeah, man, like that's an honor for me. And I love it. I love it. And I love the brand. It's such a cool brand.
Yeah. It has this like this aura about it that it's about like the people, it's about the tangata whenua, and it's about Māori culture, but also like it just brings that street college, that street knowledge together, and hip hop, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it's a community. That's what we like to just think of it as a whānau, you know, and I think that's the special DNA within not every radio station gets an opportunity to have that.
Yeah.
And so like that, and I think when you know that we're all friends and we're all family in the station, and we never call our listeners, like you're part of the My Whānau. Mm. And I think that if we can practice what we preach behind the scenes, you can hear it on the radio, and we hope that people latch onto it and feel like they're part of the team as well.
Yeah.
So that's the DNA. That's the magic. That's the secret herbs and spices.
Bro. Yeah. And we'll come back to mine later, bro. But I've got this question, bro, that I've been waiting to ask. Okay, if you could do an acceptance speech, okay, for winning an award, for the award that you were given, the first Samoan to have a Louis Vuitton wallet in New Zealand, is this true?
Who told you that?
It's in the books, brother. It's in the books. It
must be bloody Nate. Nate's spreading those yarns.
Nate wouldn't give me nothing. Come on, brother. He's too busy. But is this a true story, bro?
I don't know. Yes, I had one back in the day, and you know, I've changed a lot. You know, I'm more of a minimalist now.
Oh,
but I don't know if I was the first, but yeah, I did have one. But that was when I was spending money that I didn't have, and you know, and I wasn't married. I had no animal dependents. No, I'm an only child, so like my five lovey loveys were low, so all my like donations and offerings to the family were low. So
And then when you took
young and
that,
dumb.
when you took that wallet and you put it next to the very first Sharp GX10, is that correct?
Oh my gosh. Yes, no. Man, I think everybody, I think as soon as a camera phone came out, man, I was all about it. I was all about it. But again, I've learned a lot about, aiming for financial freedom now. But when I was younger, man, I used to spend crazy money on just stupid things that I can hand on heart tell you, I don't even know where any of that stuff is now. So, not good investments.
I had bro, that's the first thing I got in trouble for buying was a GX10, like a
Yeah,
Sharp
man.
GX10. I got it on finance and I was like, I'll pay it back when I'm ready. And bro, they
Yeah.
came knocking on my door, bro, and I was like,
Here's the phone, take it back. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
But,
I'll pay the
yeah, I'm
rest. And
sorry.
and then like, bro, it's pretty good because I remember like they used to advertise that, like Nisha Mystic used to advertise that the GX,
The
the
flip
flip
phone.
ones, yeah. And
Yeah,
did that
yeah.
encourage you to get cornrows like some of
And,
them?
oh my God, bro, how far did you dig back?
What are you
How
talking
do
about,
you
bro?
know all that sort of stuff? Man, you know that the people at my have been searching for those. Even my wife's been searching for those photos of me with cornrows. They are burnt. They are gone. Like
Oh, I
they
don't know.
man,
I've seen some.
I don't have the face shape for cornrows. Okay, I
Bro, you were straight.
can
It was looking good, bro. It was looking like you were the seventh Nisha Mystic. Like I've seen.
Yeah. Giving Donald a good run for his money, eh?
Oh man. See,
Yeah.
so going into radio school, bro. Like, so
Yeah.
you, oh, sorry, I'm back to that. So you spent some time in high school over in Aussie, right?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple
How
of
long were
years
you
over
over there
there.
for?
I did, because so they don't have intermediate school there. I went there for intermediate, so form one, form two, and form three, and then I came back in fourth form. So what's that now? Year 10? I came back year 10, year 11. Yeah. And then
Would that been a massive culture shock? Because you were here first in Te Aroha, then you went over and then you came back. Was Can you remember much being changed or between that time, or
Oh,
was it
bro,
similar?
it was crazy. So where I went to school was like it was like a real country school. It was a country international school. So it had a whole different like bunch of cultures that came to it. But I'm like I was probably the only Pacific Islander there. It was mostly like Asian or white, and it was crazy. Like, so I went from like riding my bike and hanging out with my friends and going to the fish and chip store or going to the bakery in New Zealand and then going over there, man, I was like riding skateboards and like going to the beach, wearing like shell necklaces. It was like so different, so different. But man, like a good experience, and I learned a lot, and it was really cool to come back home, and it just like reaffirmed to me like how important my culture is, and I just really more gravitated to my Samoan side just because, that's what I remembered, and that was like the family sense that I got from my Samoan side of my culture. So I really embraced that when I got back. But yeah, man, I was wearing globe shoes. Man,
Globes.
that was a different Nixon, man. Different Nixon. But man, I loved it. I loved it.
I
And
think
I went back like 2 years ago to my old school and had a chat to them, and it was cool, man. It was really cool. It was
is
cool.
the old school in Australia or the old school back here?
Yeah. No, old
Oh,
school in Australia, and I went to all my old teachers and drove around, and yeah, it was really different going back as an adult, eh? And just really experiencing that again. But yeah, that was a good experience. I wouldn't change it for the world.
it's
Wouldn't
interesting,
change
eh?
it for
Like when you come from like a bicultural like upbringing, like I'm the same
the
too, is that you have these, it's almost like you separate yourself, and
world.
sometimes when you find something that actually like means a lot more than not the other, but it speaks to you more, like that mana that happens. Bro, I've had that happen to me.
I think it's cool too, because like my dad really embraced it. Like my dad's like hearty Englishman, like hearty Englishman. But like I think when he married my mom, and he just really embraced the Samoan culture and like the family morals, the values, all that sort of stuff that he probably didn't have, which made it really cool for me because I was like in it with dad. We were like learning together, and mom was like, the captain of the family, for us. And I think that was cool to have that support, where normally it's so divided. It's the, one side's doing this, the other side's doing that. But like with our family, it was so cool. I was very blessed to have, a dad who was really supportive. And man, we'll cook taro for my nana and grandpa on Sundays and really get amongst it. So it was cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I think that would make growing up just way less combative, you know? Because what happened with mine. My Pākehā family didn't understand what my Māori family were doing, and then all of a sudden it's this all you should be going here and blah, and you get caught in the middle. But it was really cool. That's great, bro. That would make life so much easier growing up.
Yeah. The only time I would get angry is because my mum's fluent in Samoan, and my Samoan, I can understand it, but I'm not that confident in speaking it back. But the only times my dad would get frustrated is when my mum would speak to me in Samoan, and then he can't understand, so he thinks that she's backstabbing him. Like that was the only time. But she still does that now, and it's funny now. But yeah, growing up, that was hilarious.
Bro, even on the birth certificate, there was like, watched the one that you did with Pat, and I was like, far out, how many stories have I heard like this? Like, all my mates have got things like this.
Like, you know? Oh, so it's confusing because, like, you know, to like Sarah will call me Stephen, but like my legal name on my birth certificate is Anthony. So everything is back to front. And so, like, sometimes my dad, when he's had too many beers, he'll call me Tony because it's like that short for Anthony. So, like, man, and then most people of my professional career, like, call me Nixon. So, man, I just, if you yell out a name, like 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to turn around. So, because something in there is going to match. But yeah, I've had that my whole life. But now it's getting a little bit easier. Most people just call me Nixon now. So,
have you ever thought about this, bro? There's one person that has that same problem, and that's Supermanji.
Oh, and I mean, bro, if there's a Samoan Superman, it's me. You know how much I love Superman?
I know.
I love Superman. Look, I don't know if you can see that, all my Superman stuff up there. Yeah.
But Superman's the same. He's Kal-El, he's Clark Kent, he's Ken. All of these things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So relatable to me. So relatable. Oh, yeah. I just don't have the muscles.
Oh, stop it, eh? Stop it, eh? We all saw you boxing Bryce Casey. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I lost that, by the way. Thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, I didn't want to go there, but obviously you did. So, yeah, you did lose that one. But, hey, bro, you got in there.
I got in there, and man, that's a very lonely office, man. I can tell you that. But it was good to challenge myself. And when I put my mind to something, man, I'll go hundreds, and it tests me to say what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are. And I can hand on heart say that I can prove that that's a weakness. So I'm never going to do it again.
Would you say that's one of your superpowers, bro?
Knowing that?
Nah, knowing, like, internally, you know that if there's a challenge that's going to come up, you're just going to put everything you have into that challenge.
Yeah. And most people that know me well, a lot of people that know me well, like, know that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I'll fight for that, you know, if I really believe in it. So, And my main motives now is just to make sure that, you know, my family are looked after, and then I can, if whatever I do and whatever my actions can provide for my family, then I'll do them. So, that's me.
Because I've noticed, like, interviewing a lot of these people that I've interviewed, there is that theme of a lot of people just don't, like, there's some people that just will say, yeah, I want to do that, and then they actually don't want to put the work in. Like, it's the means and the actual, the process that goes towards where you want to get to isn't the same thing. But I've noticed a lot of people that I interview, it's very, very similar, like you. Like, it's you figure out exactly what you want to do. I mean, because if we go back, you know, the new FM stuff, you were working for free for 2 years.
Two years.
Bro, because you knew there was a strategy behind it to get to where you wanted to get to.
Yeah, everything I do is calculated, man. And I know that might not sound very humble, but, like, everything that I do, I have to know where it's leading. And I think that's really important. But also, like, man, I can't remember who told me this, but it was ages ago. But it's a lot harder to think about it than it is just to do it, because you stress yourself out about overthinking things. And then all of a sudden you just end up not doing it, where it's just easier just to chuck yourself in and just do it. And if you fail, you fail. If you don't, man, you win. So, you know, but at least you can say you did it rather than talking about it and not actioning it. So I think that stuck with me for ages, man. And it's kind of the way I've lived my life since then.
I mean, bro, what better way to, like, what unfiltered kind of failure and success and then a boxing ring, like?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know? Oh, man, and I'll be honest, man, like, you know, like, I you know, you don't really get the opportunity to talk about failure as much, but, man, there's been heaps of stuff that like, you know, that, you know, you could say that I failed at, but at least I gave it a crack, and, you know, all things lead somewhere. And at the moment, life's pretty good. So all those failures kind of teach you something. And then, you know, you're on the right path eventually. I'm still learning, but, you know, it's, I like to say, yep, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, moving along.
In media, yeah. Have you noticed that, like, the acceptance of failure is quite hard for, like, the higher-ups? Like, if you're not making the shareholders happy and they're not happy with the ratings right now, then they'll just make instant changes?
Is that 100%. 100%. Like, you know, they test radio. It used to be four times a year. And normally if you get two survey ratings back that were failures, you would be under review. And so, you know, to dodge that in the last 13 years, I feel like, you know, we must be doing something right. So, but yeah, no, it's not that you've got a target on your back, but, you know, there's always up and coming people too that want your spot. You don't own it. It's just like an All Blacks jersey or just any rugby club's jersey. I'm not saying I'm an All Black, but, you know, just you don't own the jersey. I don't own the seat. I don't own those headphones. So, you know, there's always people coming after your job. So you've got to just keep upskilling yourself to make yourself a bit more valuable. So then you have a bit more longevity in it. But yeah, no, that seat's never safe, man. And there's been plenty of shows in our lifetime since listening to MyFM, not just on my, but just in radio in general, that don't exist anymore. And there's a reason for that. So yeah, but that day will come for me. I know that day will come, but you know, you just got to be ready for it and don't put all your eggs in one basket and diversify yourself a little bit and everything should work out. Yeah, I'm a positive kind of guy.
let's talk about this. Is there an expiry date for, like, not expiry date, but is there expiry for, like, people that are on air? Do people just get sick of them?
Yeah. I think it's actually funny you asked that. I got asked that the other week because, you know, like, MyFM, for example, right? This is the perfect real life examples are good for me to explain it because they kind of make sense to everybody once I say it. But, you know, the target market for MyFM is 15 to 34 years old. Like, that's the target. So that's why the music that we play, the content that we pick sits in that pocket. Mm. With a few exceptions of me and Kaylee, because we're a little bit older. But now we're like, I'm out of target, you know? So like, I'm nearly 40. And so like, I'm out of that range. So if I can't figure out how to bring content to fit the 15 to 34 year old, or, you know, just a little bit older than that, then I become irrelevant, you know? So I have to start thinking about, like, you know, what's keeping people there? Can I contribute to that? And that, and when you get to that moment when I can't contribute anymore, then I have to be the one to chuck up my hand and go, but I'm too old now. I'm done.
Yeah, but don't you think like the skills that you've garnered, the conversationalist skills that you have, mixed with your charisma and the longevity of people knowing who you are and having that, like, like, they don't have to learn somebody else's backstory, they already know, right? And that's why, I thought about this the other day because I was like, I was thinking about Phil or DJ Sevier. And I was if there was one dude in the whole of New Zealand that I would listen to about hip hop, it would be him, regardless of his age. Like, he could tell me, he'd probably talk to about something that's like just unbecoming, like Sweat It or something else like that. Regardless of his age, I'd always be into that shit.
Yeah, you know? So no, and I think that's why, like, my character, and Nate helped me a lot with my character. I'll always, you know, give him so much love for that. But I think that, if you know what you're going to get out of me and I can continue to contribute that and it's still palatable for you every single morning, then I'm still relevant. But if like everybody that listens to my all of a sudden wants to hear about TikTok trends, bro, I'm not your guy. So I need to, like, move along. So and bring someone else in for that as well. But
Who determines, like, what they want to, like, hear?
So we ask people, so there are verbatims. So, like, people get to the side and then they always say, you know, like, is the My Morning Crew funny? Who's the strongest on the team? Or, like, you know, that, so it's pretty harsh. We don't get dished out that information publicly or, like, to our face. But if, like, something is wrong and you get tapped on the shoulder about, you know, something that you can improve on the show, then you obviously know something's come back to the bosses. And then the bosses go through that. And there's, like, a panel, like, four of them. And I think Sevier's still part of that as well. And they go through what the shows look like, you know, every single year. So I think, but so far, so good. 13 years, man. I haven't had a tap on the shoulder yet. So
I think for me, like, going, because I used to have to go to work every, like, we drive long distance and I used to listen to you and Nate all the time, like every single day. And for me, it's like, that's why I asked that question. I was like, I don't think, I reckon if it was, and it's not up to me, obviously, but I think that you have this certain, you got this pocket at the moment that, no, regardless of your age, you're still a funny dude and you still know how to find out what's relevant and you just like educate yourself. Everybody has that friend who doesn't know what the fuck's going on, but they ask, like, what does that mean? And then that's the character, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, for my own sake as well, when we got to rebuild the team once Nate left and Lily left, you know, surrounding myself by, you know, some younger people like Tegan and like Jordan helped me stay a little bit relevant as well, because like I can vibe off what they're going on. So again, they've given me a bit of a boost to really like, you know, go, oh yeah, cool, I've got a second win now, because man, I didn't know what was going to happen after, you know, Nate and Lily left. I was ready to chuck in the towel at that point. So, and just go, let's just all leave together. But no, those guys surrounding myself by younger people have helped probably kept me relevant. But to be honest, like, I hope that when that day comes, when I do hang up the headphones, man, I hope that one, it's my decision, but two, you know, it's going to come when I don't want to wake up that early in the morning ever again. So, and I want to sleep in.
So yeah. 15 years of getting, so were you a morning breakfast for 15 years?
I've been on my morning crew for 13 years.
13 yeah, nearly years 14. Of getting up that early, bro. That's crazy.
So yeah. So yeah, man, 3:30 every morning and yeah, it's a tough run. It's a tough run. As you can see, if you look at all our promo photos from all the years, you can see that I've definitely aged. Those mornings kill you. So yeah. Look at this white beard.
But, hey, man. You know,
hey, but just... I put food on the table and go.
You're relatable,
and
I made some
bro, and the thing that like I wouldn't if I didn't have the show, I wouldn't have met people like you. I wouldn't have met, you know, a whole bunch of people that have been along on the journey, man. So it's definitely a blessing. It's definitely a blessing.
Bro, when I came in that time, like I was amped, bro. I was ready to roll. I was like, okay, let's get I'm ready. And then because I've conversed with Jordan a few times and I think he knew that I could get like that. Like I'm really like, ugh. And then I turned to look at you, bro. And you were just looking at me like, this guy, what the heck? Like, because I was like, let's go. Yeah, I'm the best. And then, so that was cool, man.
No, it's good to have you on. And it's cool. Like, I love it when people get to actually experience what it's like to do radio.
Yeah.
Like, most people think we just get in there, just turn the mic on and have a laugh, which we do. But, man, there's so much work that goes on in between, you know, and it's cool to invite people in and get people in to be a part of that, you know, and just to show them our space.
Yeah.
So it was cool to have you on.
Oh, thank you, bro. Yeah, and, man. Like, I sat with Ryan, and, like, because I'm into all that techie stuff. So I was just like, he was the man. He was like, yeah, this is for that. This is for this. Blah, blah, blah. And I was. And then from that, it kind of opened up other avenues for me. Like, I've been on other radio shows too. So it's been pretty cool. It's been buzzing.
And bro, radio is so small, man. Once you make friends with one radio station, you're friends with all of them, man. Like, it's such a small community. That's why you can't piss anybody off, man. Because if you piss somebody off, you're not going to get a job anywhere else. Because that news travels fast.
Yeah.
That news travels fast.
Right, so going back, like if we rewind a little bit. So here's why I'm a little bit confused. So Oscar Kightley hooked it up through Rutherford College, right? That was your link?
That was my link.
Was it after that you had to go to when you went to radio college on Queen Street?
Yeah. So, so I did work experience in my year 13 year with Oscar and Mario Ngawa. And that was at New FM. And then that was like unpaid. That was the start of the unpaid work. But like, man, just working with those guys was honestly the best. And then from there, I signed up to do AUT comms. And then when I was halfway through that degree, the radio school, they said that they needed brown people in their class to get their funding. So that's when they shouted out to me and Nate. And then and I was already working with Nate at New FM anyway. And so they covered our tuition fee at radio school. And Nate and I just went there, mucked around, had some fun. And then went to the food court and ate our lunch. But so that's how that was kind of the timeline of that. That was the timeline of that.
So how many people could you fit in your BMW to go out there?
my where the windows wouldn't go down.
Yeah.
I reckon two people solid.
Two people? Was one of those people Debbie?
Dom. So you have been talking to Nate.
What?
Nate's the last person who should be dishing out gossip about what? That lady.
No, I don't know. Nate never returns my messages, bro. I just do my research, my dude.
Oh man. So Debbie was the principal or the owner of the school, and no, she wasn't one of them. She wasn't one of them.
Okay, bro. She wasn't one of them.
Yeah,
sweet.
She wasn't one of them. Yeah. But we did whatever we needed to do to pass. So and we passed. And we got jobbed out of it.
Was one of the reasons you passed because you had to cut the cords from the thing so it didn't work? For your exams.
Yeah, man. Bro, that story, like, I'm comfortable to say it now. So there was an exam that day, and honestly, Nate and I would muck around so much. I used to sit in every class with my backpack on. Like, I just wouldn't take my backpack off. And then we went somewhere, came back the next day, and they said we had an exam on that day. And we're like, oh, damn, we didn't even prep for it. And so Nate and I went under the mixing desk, and we cut the wire. So then no one could do their exam. No one could do their exam. So when everyone had to go home, so then we obviously had like an extra day buffer. And then they had no idea what happened. But then the next day we came back and we owned it. But yeah, we just needed that one day buffer just to get us through.
Oh, bro, these guys, they out here bringing the hood out to Queen Street. And
100%. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so cool. Yeah. But how was that experience? Because you were still working at New, though, but you were, what was there quite a difference between what you were doing at New FM and what you were learning? Because there, I mean, diversity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm guessing there was a lot of white people at the radio station, or the radio since you guys. And then at New, it was completely Pacific Island. Right. So was there a difference?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a difference. I mean, there's no real difference in, like, you know, the basics. The basics were basically just, you know, how to get into a song, get out of a song, all that sort of stuff. But, man, like, respectfully, you know, like, I know there are people studying radio. They're, like, you know, trying to get into, like, media or broadcasting. You really got to take those courses with a grain of salt. You just got to go there and expect the basics. But, like, when you get into radio, it is completely different. But I think it sets you up quite well for other jobs that aren't necessarily being an announcer. If you want to be an announcer, you're probably not going to get a job that way by going to those schools. Mm. And I think people don't know that because, man, there's so many layers to radio of better actual jobs in radio than just being the announcer. So if you want more than talking on the radio, those schools are great. But talking on the radio, like you get that skill by living a life and having life skills and being able to talk just like you and I are now. Mm-hmm. And being able to tell a great story that can capture people's attention. That's how you're going to get a job on air. It's not by going to those schools.
Because do you get quite a lot of people that, like, I mean, you'd probably have seen them, that kind of think that they can. They're like, oh, I'm great at talking. But when it actually comes to broadcasting, which are two completely different things, like, I sat there in the studio watching you do your job, and I was just like, whoa, because it was just all on the go. But being able to put those two things apart, like doing the technical side of things and then talking for your breaks, like, do they teach you that? Or is it just like somebody just walks in and thinks, yeah, I can do both of those?
Again, the basics, but, like, again, it's the people you surround yourself with, man, because, like, again, like, it's more than just, like, you know, work colleagues. Like, those people have got to be, like, you've got to be, like, the team of teams to be able to converse with that many people all at once and then chuck a caller in there. That's five people in one break trying to have a chat. You know, in any normal conversation, that wouldn't happen. So, like, I think you learn that by just having trust with your team. And I think that just comes down to relationships rather than learning that from school where you would say, you talk now, and then you talk now, and then you talk then. And it just becomes too scripted. You want it to naturally flow. So I think you just learn that by being on the tools. You just learn that being on the tools. But I think it's really important too, like, for people that want to be actual broadcasters and talk on the radio, it's not necessarily always about talking. I think equally, it's just as important to listen.
Yeah.
Because that's when you pick up on things, and that's when, like, conversations can, like, elevate because you're hearing new things. You could have all your questions prepped, but then they'll say something and you can go in that direction. But that's only because you're listening. Yeah. Where, you know, if you're just following your script and you were just talking, then it doesn't work well. So that's what, you know, the whole team of My Morning Crew, that's one of our superpowers too, is the ability to listen and have fun with people.
Yeah.
And So that's really important to know.
That's a skill in itself, is the listening side of things.
Yeah, because there's too many broadcasters on radio and TV now who don't listen. And I don't want to be one of them. So
I wouldn't that's put my you goal. In that. But here's another thing too. Do you ever, and this might come off a bit snobby, but do you ever look at somebody that has a lot of acclaim and just go, they're not even that good. Like I can, they're not listening to their, or, you know, like being that kind of, I don't want to say a snob, but I do it all the time. Like I'll watch an interview like with, I don't know, like Rihanna or something from some dude. And I'm just like, what are you asking that question for? That's a, like, I get really cringed about it. I get really upset.
Yeah. Like it will always be like constructive if I'm going to say something. And to be fair, like I'll only constructively criticize someone in my medium. Like I can't speak on, like I would never do TV. Like that's one thing that I've always told the bosses, like I don't want to do TV. That's just not my buzz. So like I would never criticize anyone on the TV, but if I hear something on radio and I don't like it, then I'll be like, that's driving me nuts, and we'll turn it off. Or I'll just tell the person, oh, that breaks off, you know, so like stop it. So like but that's because it's my like it's our industry. So like I'll always say that, you know, and I'll try and say it in a nice way, but sometimes I'm a little bit harsh and sometimes blunt. So my wife will make me go back and say sorry. But but I would never, like print or TV, like that's out of bounds for me. That's out of bounds, you know. So, I try and be respectful as I can.
Well, what's your opinion on like pre-recorded breaks? You know how some radio stations will do, I don't know, like they'll do like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 breaks, and then they'll just like load them up.
Yeah, I think like that there's a reason for that, but I don't think that people should, like you should never do it in a breakfast show. Like your breakfast show should never be pre-recorded. You've got to live in the moment. You know, people are waking up to you, you know, they're wanting to share their morning with you. And I think the most respectful thing to do is be so like live and engaging with them. Yeah. And it's so dangerous to pre-record because, you know, like not to make it morbid, but you know, like if someone flew a plane into the Sky Tower, you know, and you've got a pre-recorded break and you're doing some like happy, happy, joy, joy, you know, pre-recorded bit, and that just happened, you're the people that have trusted you with their lives in the morning to keep them company, you would be so irrelevant and so removed from what's actually happening that they're concerned about that you can't comment on it.
Yeah.
And I think you just lose that trust. And I think that pre-recording, very dangerous in breakfast, but and other shows, I can understand why they do it because they're more music focused and they got to get into music quicker, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Where mornings you get a little bit more flexibility to have more chats. So that's the main reason that we wouldn't do it. My morning crew wouldn't do that. Yeah,
I can kind of see what you're saying now. Like, I've been to a couple of radio stations and I would do my bit, and they're like, oh, I won't be on till like another hour, and I'm like, oh. Because I went on yours first and that went straight on. Yeah. And I was thinking, I thought it was always like that. But then when I went to another one.
Oh, sorry, no, you keep going.
Nah, then I went to another one and it was not a morning show, an afternoon one. And I was like, oh man, this is a bit different. And then even the stuff that I did with The Rock, like that was put on the next day. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it's it's just the way it is.
Well, no, and like, you know, I'll be lying if I said that we don't do that because sometimes, you know, people can't come in at a certain time where we have like a pocket, like a window. Mm. So if people can't, you know, and making people drive from like South Auckland into the city and peak hour traffic, you're just like, if you can't make it, that's cool, but we'll pre-record it and play it the next day. And also like sometimes when we interview people that talk for ages, like Jacinda, who we love, we just like, we have to pre-record this because we have to keep it down because people like, otherwise we turn into like a News Talk ZB station. Mm. So, so we want to make sure that people are getting the bullet points, everything they need to know, and then move along. So there are some exceptions, but I'll never pre-record a whole show. Never.
So like with New FM, when you were there, you were there during the peak of Brotown and Sione's Wedding and Oscar's busy era where he was just killing everything.
Yeah.
That would have been, that would open up a lot of eyes to what could happen, you know, in terms of media, right?
No, and that I think, bro, that was the eye opener for, it's like, you know, I can't speak on behalf of Nate, but I feel like he felt the same. But man, like we saw people that looked like us doing things that people like us wouldn't normally do or wouldn't have the opportunities to do. And that's why, man, I look at Mario, I look at like Shin Pao, I look at all of the Naked Samoans, Mario, and I'm just like, man, like you guys broke down walls for us. You guys opened up doors, opened up gates to let people like us have a turn, and you know, have a chance to, you know, carry on the legacy that they've created. So being amongst them and seeing their creativity, man, it really just gassed us up just to go, man, okay, cool. If they can do it, these guys are laying down the platform for us, we can continue to do it. And man, it worked. So being around people like that, the conversations are different, man. They're cool, they're inspiring, they gas you up, they make you motivated, and they're the people you need in your life, eh?
Oscar was probably my favorite interview that I've ever done. Either him and John Campbell were up there, but Oscar was cool, man. So like I did the interview with him, and then he was just like, fuck, this is great. And then he invited me to the Dawn Raid movie thing. And it was funny because it was like one of those question and answer ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got up, I wanted to ask a question. And he was like, first time I've ever met him in person. And he goes, stop everything. Don't trust this guy. He knows too much information about him. he knows too much information about me. Take the mic away. And then, it was really cool. So, but yeah, he's just the man. He's such a good dude.
I respect him so much. I mean, like, man, without him opening the door, man, like, shucks, I don't know what I would be doing now. Like, he gave me my first shot. So I'll always respect him for that. Very humbled, very humbled.
Were you there when, like, when he left, when that departure thing happened?
Yeah. So I was stuck in the middle of that. Like, because, like, I was still on work experience. And then one morning I turned up and he wasn't there. And I was like, do I still have to do anything? And then Mario still carried on. And then Mario didn't want to push the buttons anymore. And that's when Mario taught me how to push the buttons.
Okay.
So when Oscar parted ways and they were sorting out their business, you know, with everything that went down, you know, I was just there, just like tagging along, still not getting any money, but, you know, just pushing the buttons for Mario and just having some fun with it, doing it in my school uniform so then I could go to school shirt after the show.
Wow.
Cool, man. Bro. Yeah. So, yeah, but man, they're good people, bro, and they deserve you know, all the respect that they've worked hard for.
So, in terms of seeing hearing brown voices with new and everything like that, do you ever think? And this is I've been wanting to ask this question for a long time, and I've asked other people too. Do you think there will ever be another kind of controversial brown person on the radio like Nate? I don't think it's going to happen, eh?
To be fair, man, it doesn't. You didn't even have to put the controversial word in there. Like, there will never be another Nate. Like, Nate is Nate. Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that's why everybody loved him, man, and that's why, you know, he was so successful at what he did. But you know, and that was the biggest fear for me, is that whoever came and sat in that seat next, I don't want them comparing that person to Nate, because Nate is Nate, you know, and and so that's why we're all very careful about like who sat in that seat next. And we went with obviously Jordan, but you know, Jordan brought something new, a new offering. He brought a Jordan to the show. And that's the same with Lily too. When Lily left, we didn't want another Lily. We wanted someone who was different and someone who brought something new to the table. And obviously Tegan does that too. So there would never be another Nate. Nate is Nate.
But I think like the risks that he would take. like some of the things he would say, I'm just like, whoa, this is how I talk to my bros.
That guy would give me a heart attack like for 4 hours every single morning. But man, when we finally got into the groove of it and we both had so much trust for each other about where things were gonna go, like he always had my back, I always had his, we just used to have fun with it, you know, then it just started to work, and then you could let him be free, and then he could say whatever he wants, and he knew that I'd come in and, you know, put the safety mat down if he needed it, or he would take the one for the team.
Yeah. I just think in today's society, I think like, you know, with the cancel culture type thing, like Nate was really good at just tiptoeing on the line and then just laughing it off. And then you were like, oh, you know, I don't care. But there were other people that were quite like, oh, you can't say that on the radio. And we're like, well, it's entertainment. We're only joking around. We're not being serious about this. But I don't think today you could do that. I honestly don't think you could.
I think, you know, for like a lot of us, you know, like we've set the groundwork now. So like if you obviously, you know, if you've like listened to the show in the mornings, like whatever My Morning Crew version you've listened to, you kind of just know the characters. So if you see them say something, you already kind of have this like, you already know what they're like. So if you see a tweet and it's from Nate or it's from me or whatever, you kind of go, oh yeah, that's just him. Like he's just saying that. But when you just see randoms coming out trying to cancel people, you're like, who are you? What have you done? Like what's your resume? Like what, like, why are you calling me out? Like, you know, every morning I'm the same person, but now all of a sudden I'm getting canceled. So I think that like for Nate, he got a pass on that because people were just like, that's what they wanted from him. That's what they expected from him. And that's what he knew what he could do well. And so I think he wouldn't be affected by that. He wouldn't be affected by that.
Because I think in today's day and age, and we've seen it, you know, there's always going to be somebody that's going to bring up your past and try and target something that you've done in your past without letting you kind of evolve from it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's actually quite sad because if people knew half the stuff that non-celebrities got up to or non-people in the spotlight, like in their past, like I've got fucking heaps of things I did and I'm like, man, I should have done that. But if I was in the spotlight, I'd have 150 guns pointed at my head to get me canceled, you know?
And
I
don't really buy into the cancel culture. One, I'm too old for it. And two, I'm just like, I know what is important to me and I know what's not. And I just think that like that the whole, I think Adi Savia said it real good, man. Again, great speaker, that dude. But like, he was just saying, man, this tall poppy syndrome. It's like, as soon as someone's doing well or whatever, I think I got called out on it today with Tay Williams on Twitter, but you know, like it is a tall poppy syndrome. You know, it's sometimes, you know, when people just come in hot, it's always directed to people that are probably doing something a little bit better than what that person that's tweeting is doing. And so I think, you know, before people tweet or whatever, they just need to question their motive. Like, what are they trying to get out of it? Like, are you trying to cancel somebody? Are you trying to be heard? Do you want a platform? You know, like if you didn't have Twitter, like, would you still be that loud? So I think people need to question that before they start canceling people.
Yeah, don't
get me wrong, though. There are people that do need to be canceled. Oh. But I don't think everybody needs to be canceled for something that, you know, was done 100 years ago that they've probably already forgotten about and you've just brought it up again. They've tried to move on, dependent on what it is, subject to approval. Yeah. But, you know, yeah.
And I mean, sometimes, like, these people, like, I get it. Like, and like you said, there are some really pieces of shit that need to get checked. And continue that motive of just being a crappy person, right? And using their power and using their platform to get ahead or to score more girls or to, you know, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then there's people who have, like, that was, it's kind of done and they've kind of worked hard to improve themselves. And you know that when you actually talk to them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when you know that person, then it's kind of like, cool, I know that person. He might have been like that, but I know that later on in life, you know, when I knew him from the horse's mouth, that it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got a best friend who went to jail for something stupid that he did. And then, you know, like I've seen it firsthand now, you know, that he could have been cancelled easy as, but man, to see him now going to church every Sunday, being like the best father, probably a better father than some of the fathers that haven't been to prison before that I know, you know, just like was so committed going on the school camps, you know, and just loving life, loving his family. And he's just refocused his priorities and he knows what's important to him now. When I see that, I'm like, yes, change is real. Like that can happen. And I think we need to support people that are trying to get on that journey so then they don't slide and fall off a positive run.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a big, and just the last thing to think on, I think it's a big melting pot of like, if you're the person that's trying to get someone canceled, I think it's a whole bunch of jealousy. Because I think that's really what it's about. Like they're a bit jealous and they think, oh, I could be there. I could do that better than that person. And then it's mixed with a lot of like, it just brews up and then it just, a lot of anger and hate goes towards it. And then we just figure a strategy out to try and get that person done. And it's
Exactly. And that's when you really strip it back. What's your motive? Like, what are you actually trying to achieve? And I think that when you start to question that, then it can kind of talk you out of making bad decisions online. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's a weird one for me because, man, I came up, I started, like, in radio before social media. Like, it was only Bebo. And, like, no one was spreading any hate or trying to cancel anyone on Bebo. You know?
I don't know, so, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Nixon. If somebody gets you out of their top six, mate.
Oh, yeah. And you were getting a heart today. Yeah, it's all changed with these social media platforms, but I'm quite resilient because like I didn't have to grow up with it. You know, I know what it's like to live a life without it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I do feel sorry for some of the younger broadcasters who like live and die by any comment that comes on it, you know, and me and Nate made this rule, man, if you can't take the bad, don't take the good. Just don't read anything.
Yeah.
Just don't read anything. So I never really read comments, eh? Very rarely.
I see Tegan gets a lot of shit too, man. Like for on the, man, a lot of real body shaming shit and that kind of thing. And she takes it like a champ, man. She owns it. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, she's on a journey too, man. Like she wants to, she really wants to make her mark and really represent for like some Waiheke Toa out there. And I think that, you know, like in, again, in 2021 and beyond, man, like everyone's got to have an equal voice, man. If someone's getting called out, you have every right to call them back out. So if you feel like it's worth the fight. But yeah, again, you know, I've been telling her too, man, sometimes like pick your battles. But if you want to fight it, then go hard. But yeah, pick your battles wisely. Because some of these people, like, you know, that recent one that she got, I felt sorry for it because that guy was looking for a reaction. You know, and that's the motive behind it. And it's like, this guy wanted the reaction and you've got to decide. Yeah. And he got it too. So like, you know, like I just hope that there was enough people just to tell them to shut the hell up and move along. But you know, there's just some people out there that are just trolls, man. And you're just like, cool, man. Cool. But yeah, again, it comes down to motive, eh? And like, you know, these people now, because a lot of people that have a platform, I hate saying celebrity or like, you know, like I'm a glorified telephone operator, but anybody that we're more accessible now, you know, the text line's live, the phone calls are there, everyone's got social media platforms. And I just feel like it's easier access to get your trolling in. Yeah. And, you know, people like Tegan get it pretty hard. They get it pretty hard. And no one deserves that, man. No one wants to wake up in the middle of the night to check their phone and see that on their feed, man. We can do better than that, I'll say it all. We can do better than that.
What is, do you have one thing that if it was played today on the radio that you and Nate did that would get like automatically sent up to the office, like, hey boys, you got to come and see the boss. They're not very happy about it. Have you played now? There must be heaps, eh?
There's heaps that didn't make it to air, man. There's heaps that didn't make it to air. But I can't. There's things that I wish never went to air, like just for my own personal thing. But I think the prank calls, like, you know, back in the day when prank calls were hot, like, you know, we took those a little bit too far, especially when Nate rung Video Easy. That was a bad one, but, you know. But, nah, there's nothing that bad. You know, like, we were just cheeky. You know, that's what we were. If you could sum up that show, we were just cheeky. We were two guys just trying to have a laugh up in the morning. But my favorite ever bit creative for radio, though, that did make it to air and it's still my favorite bit, was when Lily couldn't say Mississippi.
Oh, I remember that one too.
That, like, if you would ask me what my favorite ever radio piece was, it's that. Like, that was just genuine, like, laughter that,
that
I haven't experienced in a long time. I still have genuine laughs, but like that just got me, because I think that was the defining moment of the My Morning Crew just turning so real.
Yeah,
like it just turned, just like, honestly, this is just a laugh. We were just so like consumed in our early days of making everything so slick and like everything had to be like flashy and like choo 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 choo, all on like some intergalactic war happening in the radio. And I think there was just these magical moments that happened where we just all just got, just put our seat back and we're just relaxed into the job. You know, like we're just like, man, we're just having fun. And I think that really set the tone for like the next evolution of the My Morning Crew. And then the evolution after that everybody could just sit back and just be yourself and just have a laugh.
Yeah.
The culture. Just have a laugh. The culture. The culture. And And everybody knows, like, man, you got my back, I got your back. Cool, we're all sweet. Like, you know, let's have some fun for 4 hours and then do it again tomorrow. Wow. So, yeah.
Because I do remember, the funniest part of that Mississippi part was just Nate's hyena laugh. Like,
yeah.
Like, all the time when he's just sitting there. Because it was funny, but he just added the whole spice to it.
It just elevated it, eh? Yeah.
And then you started crying, laughing, and then it just kept going and going and going. I mean, the part when David Tua came in and Nate took the smacks, that was too. Like, there was just so many cool parts. Like, off the top of my head, I can't really pick one because there was heaps of funny moments that, I grew up on, I had it in my life when I was, you know, going to work every day. So that's what you mean by whānau, right? Is everybody's included.
And that's the thing. So as you were driving to work or, you know, dropping the kids off or whatever, you felt like you were part of it. Then that's the biggest thing that, you know, we hope that everybody takes away from the My Morning Crew is that you're part of it. You know, when they're talking about the My Morning Crew, they're talking about all of us because, you know, and that was our thing. Like I always said that we have to pay homage to where my started and why it started. You know, it started for the people and like mine's nothing without the people. And I think that, you know, every day it's supposed to be so inviting. Like, we'll always laugh with you, never at you. We're talking to you, not at you. You know, those sort of things. It's just very, it's very community. And I'm so proud of that. That even floods through to like Kay, to the home run, to Randy on nights. Like, we're just all, the same DNA runs through the station, the same DNA. Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that what you and I mean, you can say no to this if you want to, but what you and Nate and Lily kind of created kind of with Phil, with DJ Sevilla, it caused the whole station to become that type of, because it wasn't like that before. There was, you know, like that kind of, you know, just be real, be yourself instead of trying to be so radial, like, you know, you don't need to be like the Edge, just be like that. Was it you, were you guys the catalyst for that?
I want to give like Sevilla props for that, like, and you know, everybody played their part, but man, Sevilla, like he put a lot of trust in us to do what we did, and he knew us obviously before radio too, so I think that he kind of gave us the whole be yourself but don't get us in trouble, and we took it, and then he trusted us to do that, which I think influenced the rest of the shows, you know, as well. Like everybody was like, oh cool, okay, is this what we do? And then, you know, and you know, Phil just being able to say, hey, you know, just have fun with it, just go hard with it, have fun, and just make sure that, you know, you get to the point quick. And then everybody was like, sweet. So it wasn't micromanaging at all, it was just good leadership that he let us be us. That was us.
You see a lot of that stuff in the States, like Ebro and the Breakfast Club. It's very fun, like haha type thing, as opposed to coming up next.
Bro, you can get that anywhere. You can get that coming up next is this, coming up next is that, you know. But you know, like and we could be talking about the same thing, like, you know, I don't know, like the new iPhone came out, whatever, you know, like any radio station can talk about that. But what's a MyFM whānau member gonna get out of it that they can't get from any other radio station, you know? Like, so I think whenever we're coming out with content, it's like, how do we make it our own? You know, like Cross the Road could be talking about the exact same thing, but how do we make it my, you know? So I think that, you know, Phil was part of that journey with us too. So, yeah.
All right, brother.
Missed that guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to get him on the podcast. He, you know, and because there's so many stories that I want to kind of like ask him about, because I came up the same place that he came up. Like I was, he used to work at Monaco Sounds in Monaco, and I used to go there all the time as a little kid. So I'm kind of like, holy.
That's probably why you can't start with that. You're age shaming him. Oh. You're making him sound real old. That's one thing. If you ever talk to Phil, you can't. If you ever talk to Sevilla, you can't talk about his age, okay? That's out of bounds.
The weight he lost, my man. Shit.
Bro, I'm so proud of him. I messaged him on his Instagram, man. I was like, you know, man, if you know Sevilla, he's not about that life. Like, he's not about that life. And to see him do that, bro, and he's just another cool person there. Like, man, he's such a good dad, bro. And people don't see those layers unless, you know, obviously he shares it. But, man, that dude's got some layers, man. Or he's got less layers now because, you know, he's been on a fitness buzz. But, Oh, like, yeah, he's got great stories, man. He's definitely a legend. Okay.
Anyway, I got some. Well, he's a superhero when it comes to like hip hop and stuff. He's been all around, bro.
Yeah, and sneakers. So
don't get me started on the sneaker stuff with him, bro. Shit, he's like the godfather. Anyway, bro, I got some questions about Superman, bro. I want to test how well you know Superman.
I don't know.
Are you gonna get exposed right now, bro, or what?
Yeah, I probably am.
All right, I'll give you the easy ones first. Okay. Yeah. What's his real name?
Oh, that's the one you mentioned before. Bro, you are exposing me. I do know this, but you're putting me on the spot. Come back to that one.
Okay.
Come back to that one.
Who played the original Superman on the movies, bro?
Oh, Christopher Reeve.
Boom. There we go. What's the name of his hideout, my bro?
Oh, the Solitude of... Oh, what is it? The Fortress of Solitude.
Boom. All right. Yeah. What's his mum's name, bro?
The real mum or the stepmum? The real mum that put him in the spaceship to send him to Earth.
That's the one.
Yeah, pass.
Lara is her name, bro. Come on.
Lara. That's it.
Okay. We'll come back. What's his real name then?
Kal-El.
Yes, brother. Bing, bing, bing.
Here we go.
What's his middle name, bro? Ooh.
Oh. Nah, you got me.
Joseph.
Kal-El Joseph?
No. Clark.
Oh, Clark Joseph Kent. Yes.
Oh, is that why you got it wrong? You got it confused?
Yeah, I was going, I didn't know if you're talking about,
Okay, I got you, bro. And do you know his boss's name, bro?
Like from the Daily Planet?
From the Daily Planet.
Nah. Ooh,
it's Perry, bro. Perry Smith.
Bro, nah, who cares about the boss of Daily Planet?
Oh, bro. Okay, then what does the black kryptonite do, bro? Do you know?
Nah.
Bro, did you know there was black kryptonite? I didn't even know there was black kryptonite.
I didn't even know there was black kryptonite.
So the black kryptonite will split him in half, bro, and he can have like two personalities.
Really?
Yeah, so he could be Clark Kent and then he can be Superman.
And then at the exact same time.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Now, I did not know that. Oh. I just did that research,
Oh, wow.
What's his missus name then? You should know that one.
Oh, yeah, Lois Lane.
Do you know what his other missus's name is? The one that's on Smallville, my bro.
Oh, no, I didn't watch Smallville. I didn't like that.
Bro, Smallville was off the hook, bro. It was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I just got too many people telling me that it was like, but like too romanticized, Yeah.
You're a very romantic guy.
Yeah, true that.
I thought, you sang Black Backstreet Boys going down the aisle, bro, like, That's the jam.
That is the jam.
That takes a lot of guts and bro, that's the shit, brother. What was the mindset around that? Were you like, I'm just gonna sing, stuff it.
Well, at my wedding.
Yeah, when you sung the Backstreet Boys.
Nah, so my wife isn't like, she never grew up in the church, right? So what we wanted to do is like still like have a hymn in our service, so we made the hymn a Backstreet Boys song. Ooh. So then my religious side got like the hymn that that they expected, and then Sarah and our friends that didn't grow up in the church, they got a Backstreet Boys song. So that was the black kryptonite that split the personalities in half,
There we go, bro. We've got it. what about that time you sung with Justin Bieber, bro?
Bro, and that's one of the greatest moments of all time that people don't recognize as much as they should recognize.
The harmonization, man, brother. I love it. I was like, bro, ooh.
He's, man, you know what, man? People will never understand why celebrities go crazy until you actually meet a celebrity. On that level. Like, just seeing what he had to go through and deal with on a daily basis, like when we hung out with him. I was like, man, I couldn't even handle that for a second.
Wow.
I'm just like, man, I saw our boss, not Sevilla, one of our other bosses, bro, he got hooked in the face by a crazy fan.
What?
Trying to get to Bieber. Like, so he was in the office and Bieber walked downstairs and all of a sudden, all these girls started rushing out to the van and this girl just jumped over like the crowd and just hooked the boss in the face. Wow. And just seeing that much attention, bro, would drive anybody crazy, drive anybody nuts, man. Like we had this chat with him and he was saying like, sometimes he asks his bodyguards to walk like 10 or 20 meters back just so he gets a sense of feeling alone because he's never alone. And I was like, man, that's deep, bro. That's real deep.
I get pissed off going to Monaco Mall and people are like, why haven't you gone to Clinton Bakery?
You should So imagine Bieber getting there. So that like, man, like after really like getting to know him and talking to him and sitting with him for a bit, like I really got to understand what that would be like.
Bro. That's nuts, bro. Hey, you're a very traveled fella. I've got to be honest. Mm. Could you tell me what Christmas is like in Japan, bro?
I didn't have a good time the first time, but man, KFC is everything to them at Christmas time. KFC is like everything to them. But no, it was good fun, man. I went with my dad the first time, and man, it was cool. Like the people there are so friendly. They're not that generous on like clothing sizes though. So like over there, I'm like an 8XL. Because like they're so small, and so like a large to them is like our like extra small, and but no, that was cool, man. That was a big trip for me, that Japan one. I started in Japan and went to a few other countries after that and then came home, but yeah, Japan's cool. That's one of that would be in the top five for me to go back there.
Would you ever go back there and do a marathon?
No, I'll just go back there and eat. Okay. Yeah, the second time I went though, man, like because I have a sleeve tattoo. And that's not really well received over there in certain places in Japan.
I'm the same.
And I got there and I was just sitting eating my dinner, and the security guard said that the police want to talk to me outside, and they said, oh, if you want to continue to eat here, you have to cover your arm up. And I was like, bro, it's like 40 degrees. I only got like a jacket. And he goes, you need to go get your jacket. So I had to go back to the hotel and I had to like finish eating my steak meal with a Kathmandu jacket on. And it was like 40 degrees and I was just sweating, man. So that was a bit of a cultural shock, but you know, you got to respect where you are.
When I went there, like we went to one of those onsens and they wouldn't, let me go because I had tattoos. Yeah. They were like, no, sorry. I took my, I was just normal sleeve and they're like, no, sorry, you can't come here. And I was like,
Crazy, eh?
Crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Beautiful. But place, no,
beautiful place, man. And then just before, I think on Christmas too, we watched some sumo wrestling, and man, that was great. Had a few beers and then jumped on a plane and headed off.
Bro, so here's another thing about eating too, bro. I'm trying to get like a diet thing sorted out and I'm trying to make some changes in my life, bro. Can you tell me if my my fecal matter will be all right if I just ate tomatoes, bro?
I've been there, done that, nearly died, man. So
explain to me what the thought is about that, bro. Because what I hear is that you ate it for a full year, just tomatoes, nothing but tomatoes.
So at my heaviest, I was 120 kilos. That's my heaviest. And I'm not that tall. I'm like 5'10", 5'11". And it was a pretty rough year for me that year, like because, you know, relationship broke up, all that sort of jazz, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, man, I'm just going to go hundreds on running and changing my lifestyle, changing my diet. So I just ran every day. I'd run like 15 to 20 kilometers every day. And all I ate was porridge in the morning and a tomato. And I did that for a whole year. And I think I got real sick at like 19 months in. But I think in 3 months, I dropped from 120 kilos to 62 kilos in 3 months. So I lost a lot of weight. I put it back on now, but man, yeah, I know how to get skinny if I ever need to, but it's very unhealthy.
Was this the acid?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. It was just, there was just nothing in it and I was running so much. So like I was just burning off whatever went in.
Wow.
But man, like I look like a bobblehead. Like, you know, my head didn't change size, but the rest of my body was real skinny.
I've seen those photos, those promo photos.
Yeah,
like when you had flavor. Was that when you had flavor? Because bro, your head was massive, my dude.
Yeah, bro. Oh, it's still massive. Like
one
now,
of those pop vinyls behind you, my bro.
Yeah. Bro, I think the skinniest I was when I first started at Mai. I think that was the skinniest I was. Yeah. But I was pretty small. Like I would never go back that small again. But in saying that, I know how to do it if I need to. Yeah.
What's the greatest Rod Stewart album of all time?
His greatest hits.
Oh. run down. Let's go top four.
No, it's only that.
Oh, now wait. We've got this look into the camera, so I've hit a nerve right there. I know that you're a big Rod Stewart fan, Nixon.
Not a big Rod Stewart fan.
That's not what I've heard. I've heard that.
He's not my goat. He's definitely not my goat. But that Talk About It song has got to be like one of the best songs for him. I wish I could share some of these with you, man. Because I've actually got some bangers actually in my playlist.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, I've actually got some bangers. Like that I Don't Want to Talk About It song is one of the greatest.
Okay.
But also, like, why Rod Stewart? Like, whoever told you Rod Stewart, like, they were a little bit off. Because, like, again, there's so many other goats out there.
Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bro, yeah, I've heard that that's your go-to, bro.
Nah, he's on the playlist, but nah. I'm a Michael Jackson, Babyface, R. Kelly stan. And I know that's quite a controversial list, especially with that last one. But yes. I own that. And at my age now, I'm honestly, hand on heart, I'm mature enough to separate the art from the artist. I own that. I definitely own that. But I also know that I'm not. I wouldn't be a good person if I started playing his songs back on the radio. I know that there's a line to draw. But if I want to listen to him in my own car with my windows up, where no one else can be affected by it, then I'm going to go hard.
Okay. Yeah, that's a weird thing, eh? Like, yeah. I see what you're saying. The art and the artist thing.
Because,
I mean, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, you know, you could all come. Well, R. Kelly's still alive, I suppose, and we still. I think he's in jail. Yeah. Is he in jail? He must be in jail, right? He must be somewhere.
Who? R. Kelly's in jail. Yeah, okay. He's definitely in jail. Yeah, And I'm not endorsing him at any point. His songs to me got me through some, like, you know, some times in my life. Except you know, the they're very ones, memorable. Eh? Oh man, all 15 parts of it. but nah, man. But you know, it's hard. It's, you know, bro, that was a tough year for me that year when that documentary came out about Michael Jackson and R. Kelly got arrested. That was a tough year for me, man.
They all got put through the laundry,
man. All in one year, bro. All in that one year when that docker and bloody R. Kelly story came out. And again, I'm not endorsing R. Kelly, but I just like that's the music style that I really, really engage with. That and country music. So.
That's what I was going to ask next. Well, describe your love for country music that nobody knows about.
I think it was my Australia times when I grew up in Aussie. But no, I just love, like live sounding music where things sound like you can hear the instruments play.
Okay.
But like when you talk to me about country, like it's not like country, like it's more like the poppy country stuff, you know, like
Leanne Rimes and...
like the Zac Brown Band and that sort of stuff, you know, like, like Josh Turner, like it's more like the poppier side, like the Shania Twain album, but the country edition.
Okay.
You know, like, that sort of vibe, you know, Brooks and Dunn kind of country. That's my jam. Yeah.
What's your go-to at, is it Haddad's?
Haddad's? Yeah.
What's your go-to, bro?
It used to be the Sea Dog with the Coomera chips.
Ooh.
I used to love the Sea Dog, but man, over the last couple of months, about 3 months ago, I just found out I got celiac disease, so I can't have gluten anymore. So life sucks.
Way to just ruin my questions there, Nixon. Sheesh.
Yeah, sorry, man, but no, I had that told a special place in my heart. Grew up with that just on my back doorstep, but I can't have gluten anymore. I'm not allowed to have it. It makes me sick. So.
Those for the South Aucklanders listening, I think that's like the Papatoi's little Abners for Te Aretu, right?
Yeah, people... I think they're the same family.
Oh, what?
I think it's the same. I think they're like they're either cousins or brothers.
Have they got the Jokenburger there?
Yeah, Jokenburger. Yeah,
that's disgusting. That burger. Yeah. I don't know why everybody hypes it up.
Nah, it's not my jam either. But bro, I was Sea Dog, man. That crab stick deep fried in that hot dog bun. With the tartia sauce, let's go.
Have you ever, and I know that phones are quite thing, have you ever found a phone that has more features than the E71, the Nokia, bro?
Yes, 100%. But in saying that...
That one was a jam, though.
You know, I don't... I don't use my phone the way that people probably assume that I use my phone. Like, I just use it to communicate and then that's it. Like, I don't really do much else on it. But no, even in saying that, it's only when I want to communicate, because if you look at my screen, I don't know, can you see how many text messages?
Holy hecka, that's why you never get back to me.
Yeah, so like, I don't really, I bought that for my convenience. Like, I didn't buy it so other people could ring me. I bought it so I could ring other people.
Oh, you know, so it's very selfish of you.
Nah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but I mean, the only apps I have on there are my banking apps and my YouTube and Twitter. That's it, really.
It's a good thing to do, you know, because we get consumed by social media, and it's good that you can kind of just shut off.
I can 100% shut off, and I think. Yeah, I'm very proud of myself that I can do that.
Oh. Anyway, brother, thank you so much for the conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. This was awesome.
I did. No, it was good. At some point, I forgot that you were recording this, and I thought this was just a chat between me and you, and you made it so comfortable, man.
Thank you so much, brother. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for you. Like, not saying that you're finishing at mine, but when that day does come, whenever that does, I know whatever's in your crosshairs, you'll kill, bro. It's just inevitable.
Yeah, no, I can tell you right now, it won't be in radio. I can tell you that. So, I'm going to just enjoy living life, and I'm hoping to retire, to be honest. That's my goal.
That's it, eh? So like,
once it's done, it's done.
That has to be the end goal, like, where you can just watch TV, chill out, go for a run.
Yeah.
Do things that you want to do, and then I'm so thankful and appreciative of your time, bro.
Hopefully I didn't like bore you to death with like my very average life, but you did enough digging, bro, to chuck me under the bus, so I hope you enjoyed that.
I didn't want to bring up the radio show before Soul Food, because you know when you did Soul Food, that was a very, very I didn't. Do you reckon that I know the name of that radio show?
But nobody else knows the name of that radio show, and I've kept that a secret for a very long time. So,
but do you reckon I know, bro? That's what I'm asking.
If the person who's been feeding you this information has been feeding you that, then yes, 100% you will know.
Thank you so much, Nick. So this has been a great thing for me. I've always wanted to have a chat with you and understand where you came from and what you did, bro. Yeah. So thanks heaps, brother.
No, I appreciate you, man. Take care, man. Catch up soon.